scene of a person's greatest temptations. We could be talking about sexual sin. We could be talking about pilfering. We could be talking about cover-ups. We could be talking about the abusive exercise of power. We could be talking about gossiping. We could be talking about grudge holding. We could be talking about false rumour spreading. All kinds of things. So let's be on guard. I remember C.S. Lewis writing something about how when a Christian gets home from work or home from what they're doing, where they've been sort of before the watching world all day, they can let down their guard when they're home. And he was saying how wrong that is. That of all the places we need to hold our guard up is in the home. For that's where people see us as we really are. Sometimes we think that just because we're together as Christians, we can let our guard down. Because they're Christians, they'll forgive us, or they're flexible. But let's remember that this second temptation took place in the holy city. And in fact, on the highest point of the temple in that city. Remember the first temptation last week was aimed at undermining trust. You know, could God's word be trusted for Jesus? Would the Father look after the Son? Here he was, starving, hungry. And that temptation to turn that loaf of bread, do something for yourself, Jesus, was aimed to undermine his trust. Well, the second temptation, in a way, is almost the opposite of that. It's to push our trust into presumption. The temptation to spiritual pride. This was the temple. This was, you could assume that this is people everywhere, as it was always in the temple. And Jesus is invited to throw himself off. Perform a great miracle of deliverance here. Let the Father show himself in such a way that all the people's curiosity will be satisfied. And he even quotes scripture, doesn't he, in it all. If you are the Son of God, again, questioning. But Jesus refuses to perform a miracle to satisfy the people's curiosity, just as he was in the first one. He refused to perform a miracle to satisfy his own hunger and his own need. And without exception, all the way through the Gospels, the Lord Jesus is always refusing to do miracles for curiosity's sake, or to do miracles to show off to others. If you're the Son of God, jump off. And here is another ploy that the devil uses. For the scriptures say, that's him saying that. For the scriptures say, and then he quotes from the Psalms. The devil's head is full of scripture. It's not in his heart, but it's in his head. I think the devil knows more scripture than any of us do. But the Bible, you see, isn't just a collection of isolated texts that we can, you know, grab here or grab there or grab there and lift it out of its context and just sort of say, well, there, here you go. In order for us to understand any text in scripture, we've got to see it in the context of the scripture as a whole. And so we study the scriptures so that we can understand scripture by scripture and explain scripture by scripture. And that is something that God wants us to do for the rest of our life. Or you hear it said, I've heard it said by people who've been in church for a long, long time, I've heard all the messages I ever need to hear. That may be something about my preaching, I guess. But they went on and shot themselves in the foot next by saying, you know, I don't need Bible study anymore. I know all that I need to know. How well do we know Scripture? I mean, this passage challenges us. Would we know whether Satan is coming to distort Scripture with us? We're seeking God's will. How do we discover God's will? What do we mean by God's will? Will we know whether even some amazing sense of drawing or some emotional situation or even some scripture that may jump out at us? How do we know that it's God jumping that out at us? How do we know it's not what's happening here? Satan is jumping this passage out to Jesus. The only way we'll know is to keep on studying, to keep on letting Scripture explain Scripture and continue to not take things for granted and not to overestimate our own wisdom in this thing. The internet's a great thing. We can hear just about anything on the internet. And Christian things, many, many Christian things, many messages, many ideas, many sermons, many series, many, many things. And I think some people find that a lot easier than opening up their Bible themselves and studying for themselves. They want to know what Mark Driscoll says of this, or they want to know what John Stott says of this, or they want to know what John MacArthur says of this, or they want to know what Hare Krishna says of this, or whatever. Now, these things can be wonderful tools that God can help us with, but they must never, never, never substitute for the daily, and let me emphasize that, the daily studying of Scripture. Satan tempts us daily. Satan may bring Scriptures to us daily. So we need to be very careful and take the lesson here, the if you like, the assumed lesson that's all the way going through here, that each time Satan comes to Jesus, Jesus responds to him with Scripture, with Scripture, with Scripture. For the Scriptures say, he says in verse 6, and then Jesus responds in verse 7, but the Scriptures also say that you must not test the Lord your God. Putting oneself in a dangerous position and hoping to force some show of loving deliverance from the Lord is really presumption, and it's really sin. The reason I'm hesitating is because I don't want to really rush on too quickly over these next things, and I'm thinking that we might draw things to a close here and continue on next week. Remember, the things that we said last week apply, obviously, to today's temptation as well. And that is that, remember, these temptations came straight after a spiritual high point in Jesus' life, when he was baptized and the voice came from heaven to affirm who he was to all of the crowd that were there, and especially to John the Baptizer. And that was a wonderful moment, if you like, when the sun was shining and immediately Jesus is taken in. And so we need to remind ourselves, without being morbid about it, but that this is life. This is our life. We're in a battle. The war is on. The war has been won ultimately, but the mopping up exercises are still going, and the devil, the scripture says, is down amongst us in a furor, trying to not take our salvation away, because he cannot, but he can so affect us to be ineffective in our salvation and in our allowing it to grow out into our lives, that we will be ineffective for him, and also therefore the devil uses that to stop others coming to faith in the Lord. So the battle is there. But the other thing, let me remind you what we said last week, is that temptation isn't sin. Otherwise, Jesus would be a sinner. Temptation is not sin. It's the yielding of our will to conform with those temptations that is the sin. We are all tempted. We are all tempted in so many different ways. But it's what happens at that point, that passage that Ruby read to us today talked about choice. God said, today I'm giving you a choice. I'm setting before you life and death. And in a sense, that's true for us every day that we live. Choice. Let's take heart and strength in the fact that for the Lord, perhaps in the humanness of his humanity, these temptations may have seemed appealing, but in the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was disgusted by them. And as a result, he gave no room, no credence, no place. He spurned them. And through him, what does Romans 8 say? We can be more than conquerors ourselves through him. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you might help us in the daily battles of our life to find within them, Father, your presence, very strong, very real, and very, very faithful to us, not because we feel it, but because we know it. Because the scriptures have said and shall forever say, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Thank you, Father, for the privilege this week of facing the temptations that we'll face in a way that will not only bring glory to you, but will help us become stronger, warriors for the kingdom of God. For these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.